speaking, teaching on joy today, and I had a few funny stories that went along with joy, or the lack thereof. So I wanted to share some of those with you this morning. So the funny thing is, in the office, we have been passing around this message series.
Your mic is not.
Am I not on?
Yeah.
I am on. I'm not on. Okay. Hello.
Hello. There we go. I think it's me. Just, you know, I'm so ordinary, and God just chooses to use ordinary. And I'm not going to blame on the sound. It was me that time. Okay, so funny thing is, we've been passing around this message series in the office, Christmas Delivered, and we've been going around with these Advent words. And so Alan went first with Christmas Delivered, and he said, you know, since you're here today, you get to pick what you want to teach on next. And so I said, okay, peace. I'm going to steal the word peace. So I stole the word peace, and then Ethan comes along, and he tries to steal my joy with taking peace, which he did. He did preach on peace last week, if you remember. And then this week, then I was going to take love. I was going to take love as the word. That was my second word because, you know, it was my choice, whatever word I wanted. So I got to pick the second choice then after Ethan stole peace. I'll say, okay, I'll do love. So then Alan comes, well, I think love really goes better for next week. So I was like, okay, I'll take joy. I'll take joy. So we come back, and then later that night, Alan sends a text. He goes, I really think that joy can work for next week. And I go, oh, no, you're not stealing my joy. I'm stealing my joy. So it's been kind of a funny thing that's going on at church here in the office, just who's going to teach what. But yesterday, it was funny, we haven't put up Christmas lights in I don't know how long, really. We've kind of attempted one little strand here and there. But this year, Christmas is going to be at our house. We always have Christmas morning at our house, but my parents, they're here this morning. They now live in Gainesville. They've been living in Louisiana, and they now live in Gainesville, so you get to see them a lot more. So you should get to know them. They're really amazing, yes. But my parents have moved to Gainesville for Christmas. I mean, everybody is going to try to come, but it's not going to all happen because of COVID. But it's going to be at our house. And so we are trying to really gussy up the place for the family coming. And Ryan is the hero of it. And Nathan, who is not in this room right now. But anyway, so, you know, after food share yesterday, I come home and they're putting up the lights. And I'm so excited because this is going to bring us so much joy to have these Christmas lights up. And as I'm coming in, he says, listen, I just want you to know the lights might be just a little bit different color. Like they were all supposed to be clear. But they're evidently, I didn't know this, but they're a few different colors of clear. Okay, so anyways, I'm just buying lights, and I don't even read like yogurt or anything. I'm not a shopper that like intensively reads packaging. So there are two different clears if you have not put your Christmas lights up. So I'm like, what could be the difference? Really, clear is clear, right? So later that night, about 6 o'clock, when he has finished the task of the lights and the unveiling happens, and it is clear, it's clearly not the same clear, okay? It is clearly not the same clear. And I am kind of like an order freak about things. And I look out there, I mean, it is messy, okay? It is beautifully done, but the lights are totally different clears. And I thought, how funny is that? Today I'm teaching on joy, and these are the lights I need. I need four boxes of these lights. So I thought I'd bring them here in case you were at Walmart today and you found these. I will pay you back, but they are nowhere to be found. So clear is definitely not clear, but it is not going to steal my joy. It ain't going to rob my joy. It ain't going to rob my joy. So, but there are many things. There are many things this season that can really rob our joy, right? There are many things. I'm going to stay together. But there is, obviously, there is sickness that we are dealing with today that is not going to rob our joy. Amen. It's not going to rob our joy. There are family crises, and they are not going to rob our joy. There are family worries or financial maybe worries. Maybe you're in the room and you have a financial worry, but it is not going, it ain't going to rob our joy. There is holiday family gatherings or non-gatherings because of COVID, and it is not going to rob our joy. there is maybe marriage issues in the room, or maybe singleness is in the room. And it is not going to steal our joy. Because the enemy, he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But Christ has come to bring us life and bring it abundantly. He has come to bring us joy. So there are many things that Christmas night, the shepherds faced, Mary and Joseph faced, that could have robbed their joy. Could have robbed their joy. So let's talk about that Luke passage that Alan read. In the Luke passage and Alan read, the first point today is true joy is celebrating when you want to fear. True joy is celebrating when you want to fear. We have a lot of fears right now just in our church. We have a lot of fears and worries that we want to stop at, but we will not allow that because true joy is celebrating when we want to fear, knowing that Jesus is Lord. So in Luke 2, Alan read this. It says, in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And the angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. But the angel said to them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. For unto you is born in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. Who is Christ the Lord. So there is, in 1 John 4:8, it says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love, that perfect love that they were talking about, cast out all fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfected in love. So the fear came on the shepherds that night, right? I mean, if you have seen an angel face to face and all the glow that must have happened that night on that dark field, when the angel appeared to the shepherds, if you had come face to face with the glory of the Lord, I dare say you would be afraid also. You would be scared in your shoes. You would be so afraid, just as those shepherds were afraid. Many had been afraid before when the presence of God had come on them. We know Abraham, he had been afraid when the presence came on him. Moses, Joshua, Jeremiah, Peter, Paul, John, Zechariah, he had been afraid even, lost his communication. So many. Mary had been terrified when the angel came to them. And the second part of the message is, do not fear. Do not fear, because when the presence of the Lord comes on us, we think it's about our disobedience. But God had come in perfect love and perfect in non-judgment to give us hope and mercy and grace that night. And that's what he meant for the shepherds that night. And don't you just love it that he came to the shepherds? I mean, doesn't that give you so much joy and so much hope for you? And I never can get my microphone right. I'm just so stinking ordinary. And we are all just so ordinary. But God is so good that he comes and to the ordinary. Yes. He comes to the ordinary, not the extraordinary. He came to the lowly and the lowest of all in the shepherds that night. He came to the lower class, the bottom of the social ladder, the uneducated, unable to testify even in court because you know why? They worked 7 days a week. So because they worked 7 days a week, they missed the Sabbath and they were unclean. So they couldn't even have a communication factor. But God gave them all the communication factor they needed that one night. All they needed. They were not put together and they were not royal. The shepherds received the most significant announcement in history. The most significant, the one we hold true, this word is based on, gave the most significance. Put this in your notes, 1 Corinthians 1:26-27. Read it later. It's one of my faves. But in Isaiah, the prophecy came true. It says, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor, the shepherds. Good news. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and opening of the prison to those who are bound. That's Isaiah 61. Then 2 Corinthians 4:7, it says, but we have the treasure in jars of clay to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. The power is his, not ours. That's why he chooses to use the ordinary, because they just know they don't have any power. They just know they're ordinary, and God is choosing to use them. He anoints those like that. Listen, it says in James 2:5, it says, listen, my brothers, my beloved brothers, but has God chosen those who are poor in the world to be rich in faith, heirs of the kingdom which he has promised to those who love him? James 2:5. So write that down. God has chosen the shepherds, the ordinary, to do an extraordinary thing and to have an extraordinary message. And they received, just as I said, the most significant announcement in all of history. Point two, the message of the good news is for all and brings peace. It's for all. We've been talking about this whole season. We're gathering now to scatter the good news. And the first part of that is recognizing this good news is not just for me. It's not just for you. It is for all. And so when they said that in the passage in Luke 2, it says, "And this will be a sign for you, that you will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with an angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased.'" With whom he is pleased. The message of Jesus is for all. In this particular passage, we know that the message originally started and came to the Jewish people. We know that. We know that it was first theirs. They are chosen by God. They are the people of God. They are Jesus' own people. Came to the Jews. And then it rolled out for us, for all of us, the Gentiles. So the message first for the Jews, then the Gentiles. But the message is for all. Is for all. So there was one angel. I love this part. And suddenly there was an angel. There was the angel. And then after the angel makes the grand announcement, there is a host of angels. Okay, they're like, "You're not letting us out of the party." They are coming by flocks and droves. I can only imagine what that must have been like to experience all of those angels just all together praising God. Glory to God in the highest. Glory to God in the highest, on earth peace among those whom he is pleased. So there was a host of angels that came, and it says, you know what the angels, they had been waiting and longing for this. They were probably like, "Finally!" And they brought the party to the field. And just as I said, they were singing glory to God in the highest. And they were offering peace, the restoration, the rescue, the deliverance. They were from sin, from whom there is, from sin, for whom there is favor. So what a night filled with unbelievable joy. Unbelievable joy. In that night, peace finally came. And his name is Jesus. The unbelievable good news came to us, though, after 400 years of complete silence. We've not experienced that. It's kind of silence before. We only think that we have experienced that silence because of the radio and the media and the TV and the social media that has led us to think that God is silent. God is fully alive and fully speaking to us. This is not the silence. It is not the same silence. It is not the same silence. But in this period, there was 400 years of silence. So between Malachi and your word and my word, between Malachi and the bounding of the Old Testament and the New Testament, there was 400 years of complete silence. There was no message, no prophecy. And without a word from God to his chosen people, there was no voice, there were no miracles, there was no hope. There was no hope. Israel has to wonder, was God mad? Was God, is God dead? Maybe he doesn't have anything more to say. Maybe he said it all. Can you imagine that he had really said it all? Maybe he is not real. Maybe those were just stories. The people, God's chosen people, were struggling to believe because they had not heard of God, from God, in 400 years. So I don't know about you, but I get upset when I haven't talked to somebody in 4 days. Okay? 4 days. I'm like, where are they at? How are they doing? What's going on in their life? 4 days. I mean, we are instant people. We send a text and we want it right back. But this is 400 years. It is not 4 days. It is not 4 weeks. It is not 40 days. It is 400 years of silence. It is different. And the people were starting not to believe. They were starting not to believe. It might be like a young child asks his dad, "Dad, have you heard from God?" "No, son. No, I haven't heard from God." "What about Grandpa? Has he heard from God?" No, son. "And I don't even think Grandpa's grandpa has heard from God." "Do you know anyone that has heard from God?" "No, son. I don't know anybody that has heard from God." The silence in those 400 years was deafening. It was deafening.
so loud, but to break the silence, it wasn't some grand pomp and circumstance. It was the cry of a baby into the night. It was the cry of a baby into the night that broke that 400 years of deafening silence. Isn't that amazing? Matthew 1:23 says, "The virgin shall give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, God with us." So in the birthday of Jesus, that Emmanuel, God with us, God was pitching a tent among us, and his presence was here to stay. Amen. That is great joy that we have to celebrate. Amen. That God came as a baby, the deafening cry of the silence. He was pitching a tent, and he was sticking around, and he is here today. Amen. With us, because he is no longer silent.
Amen.
He is no longer silent. But let me just say, that was a messy day for God to come, right? That was a messy day. We kind of all have our nativities. I have the nativities everywhere. I just love a nativity. How many of you have nativities? Raise your hand. I mean, we just have the picture of Jesus just, you know, on our TVs and, you know, in the playroom and in the kids' room. I mean, the nativity is everywhere. So it is just everywhere. But that day doesn't look anything like a nativity. Okay. It only looks like a nativity because Jesus is here and he's here to stay. And we know the other side of the story. But that day was a messy day. Okay. It was a messy day. The day he broke the silence was crazy. You remember what it was? It was the day they went to register. Okay. Which means it was the day they went to pay their taxes. Okay. It was the day that, and I don't know about you, but April 15th might be a stressful day, right? For us, when we pay our taxes. Well, that's what they were doing in the scene. They were going to register, but the deal was, They were going to pay their taxes. So on tax day, not neat, not tidy, no one was settled. In fact, their tax day had to be paid by traveling afar. Okay, so remember, they went from Nazareth to Bethlehem. So they weren't sticking around in their little place that they lived and settled and just taking it to the post office. No, they had to travel to pay tax day. And tax day is never neat, especially for people who are procrastinators, right? Any procrastinators in the room, we know what messy day that could be. Last minute hustle and bustle. So on that day, they had to face the craziest night. And he probably says, "I know, God, this is God. I know you haven't heard from me in a lifetime. I know that you haven't heard from me in a lifetime, because 400 years was over a lifetime. I know that you haven't heard from me in a whole lifetime, but tonight, on the craziest night, I'm going to break the silence. I'm going to break the silence." And God brings his son, Jesus, to break that silence. And this is what they faced. They faced traveling from Nazareth to Bethlehem. Mary and Joseph were not married. They were engaged to be married, as you remember. And she is pregnant with child. So they are in a cloud of scandal. They're in a cloud of scandal. That is not pretty. That is not pretty. We think, oh, everybody got it, but they probably did not get it. They probably did not get it. They're arriving late in the night, and they're traveling 9 months pregnant on a donkey. Okay, how many ladies in the room? 9 months pregnant on a donkey. Okay, not so good. Not so good. I was 9 months and some change, and I can just remember walking around Target trying to get the baby to come. So definitely 9 months pregnant on a donkey. They are going to have a baby that night. 9 months pregnant on a donkey. No place to stay. No place to stay. They end up having to stay in a stable, which suggests that it could have been more like a cave, where the animals sought refuge from storms. So on that night, her baby came. Jesus came. He came to break the silence. Break the silence. So the only thing perfect about that night was the baby. The only thing good about that night was Jesus. The only thing not messy, torn up, destroyed, hard, struggle, scandal was Jesus. Jesus. He was the only one. And it's like when your worst day, this quote, I say this quote all the time, but it has been one of the most powerful quotes in my life. It's like when your worst day becomes your best day, because there you find Jesus. Their worst day, they probably chalked it up to, that was, yeah, Joseph, that was the worst day I ever had. But it was the best day because of Jesus. It was the best day because of Jesus. So on this day, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. Joy to the world. The Savior has come. So the message of good news leads us to seek him. I don't know, when you know about Jesus, you got to seek him. You got to seek him, seek him, seek him, because you want to find him. And I love what it says in Luke 2. It says, when the angel went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let's go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. That's Luke 2, 15 through 16. So the first thing they said is, when the angel had gone, let's go. Let's go find him. Let's go. The closer we are to the Father, the closer we are to joy. The closer we are to the Father, the closer we are to joy. We can't create this joy for ourselves. It's only found in seeking him and finding him. It's only found in seeking him and finding him. We can't make ourselves joyful. We must seek the joy giver. We must seek the joy giver. So we must be in his presence seeking the joy giver. Last night I was reading, it was kind of funny, I had already written this message. Last night I was reading Lauren's post. She posted about a friend who wrote a thing about joy. You should go to her page and try to find what I'm talking about, because it was kind of powerful. I'm like, I'm going to read this, because I don't know about you, before I teach or do anything, I'm reading everything, I listen to everything. I'm just trying to fill my brain. And when I saw it was about joy, I was like, I got to read that. But one thing it said in there that was just so powerful, and it actually uses this verse that I'm fixing to use. It says, you can't pick yourself up by the bootstraps to get joy. You can't do that. We tend to think we can just pick ourselves up. We can just get out of bed. We can just pick ourselves up by the bootstraps. And I kind of was raised that way. You just get up. Come on. Let's go. You know? But that is not it. That is not it. It is this. You make known in Psalm 16:11. Write this down. You make known to me the path of life in your presence. There is fullness of joy at your right hand. Our pleasures forevermore. They're at the right hand of God. In the presence of God, we find the fullness of God, which gives us joy. So joy doesn't come from ourselves. There's no way we can muster it up. We can't muster it up. So I am telling you today that in the presence of the Lord, when we're seeking the joy giver, we're going to find him if we seek him. We know this passage from Jeremiah 29:11. You can look this up with me if you want right now. Jeremiah 29:11-13, and it says, for I know the plans, and you guys know this by heart, you can say it in your mind with me. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me, and I will come and pray, and come and pray to me, and I will hear you. He's going to hear us. I will hear you, and you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. So when we seek God, he will find us, and he will be our joy giver. He will be our joy giver. So the message of good news leads us to seek him. Leads us to seek him. So today, I'm just telling you, we've got the message. If you're not seeking him, you're wondering why you're struggling with this joy, you've got to seek him, and he will find you in your mess, in your muck, in your mire, in your distress. He will find you. Point four, when we have joy in the good news, we want to tell others. We have joy in the good news, we want to tell others. We want to scream about it. Go tell it on the mountain. We have good news today. This good news is Jesus. This good news is Jesus. When they saw it and they made known the sayings, and this is Luke 2:17-21. When they saw it and they made known the sayings that had been told them concerning the child, all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds had told him. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, and it has been told. All that they had heard and seen, and it had been told in the womb. Luke 2:17-21. So the shepherds, as soon as they had seen what the message was true, as soon as they had seen it face to face, because they sought him and they received the joy, they couldn't stop talking about it. They were amazed. They're like, do you know what I just saw? The Savior of the world has come. Do you know the message of Christ? We've been waiting, and he is here. They have shared the message. The shepherds cannot stop talking about it. The sad thing is that many listened, and they were filled with wonder. They were filled with wonder and amazement. They thought about it. They considered it. But that's all they did with it. They thought about it. They considered it. That's all they did. It didn't change their life. But Mary, she held it close. And she treasured it up and all these things in her heart. It changed her forever. So we can't help what people do with the message we are called to share. We are just called to plant the seeds. We are just called to share. We can't help what they do. We just have to share. We can't help what they do. We just have to share. So we know this passage in Matthew 28. It says, "And Jesus came and said to them, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations,'" because the gospel is for all, "baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all I've commanded you, and behold, I'm with you always, even to the ends of the age." Matthew 28. Even to the ends of the age. So they gathered and they saw baby Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, and they said, "We are going to tell other people about what we have seen." And they went and they shared. They went and they shared. And one more passage about that in Romans 10. I love this passage. We've been sharing it a lot. excuse me. In Romans 10, it says, "How then will we call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him on whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? And it is written, 'How beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news.'" That's you. That's me. Our feet are beautiful. God wants us to preach the good news, and you know what? It doesn't matter what people do with it. It only matters that we're obedient to share. So on that night, on that very messy night, when they saw Jesus, they knew they couldn't keep quiet any longer. They had to do something with it. And they probably thought, "Ain't nobody going to steal my joy. Ain't nobody going to steal my joy." Because they went out and shared it. It doesn't even matter what is done with it. So in Psalm, I want to end today with Psalm, and the band can come. In Psalm 126, which is one of my favorite passages, that I've taught from it a lot to other people. But Psalm 126, 5 and 6, and it's kind of like what we're pondering on this last point. It says, when we have joy, the good news, we want to tell others. Sometimes they choose not to receive it, but we want to tell. It says, "Those who sow in tears shall reap with shouts of joy. He goes out weeping, bearing the seed of sowing, shall come home with shouts of joy, bringing his sheaves with him." When we go out sowing the good news in people's life, when we go out and give this good news away, it doesn't even matter if they receive it. When we go out, we can come home, and people will choose to receive it with shouts of joy, bringing those who have received it with us. So whatever mess you're walking through, whatever struggle, whatever messy night, whatever tax day, whatever struggle, or marriage, family, home, whatever it is, sickness, COVID, whatever mess it is you're walking through, God has given you a message. God has given you a message. And that message is to be used for his glory. Jesus Christ is born. Joy to the world. And ain't nothing going to steal my joy. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for your opportunity to just come before and see the truth of your scripture and the truth of your word, Lord. And I pray today that we recognize that there are all kinds of things that try to bombard us from the good news, the message of Jesus, and the hope that we have, Lord. But I pray today that we recognize that it is because of you that we live, and it's because of those words that were said on the mountain that night, the greatest announcement ever made, that glory to the Lord in the highest, that you have come. And you have given us your son, Jesus, so we can have life and have it more abundantly. We love you, we trust you, we praise you, we give you all the glory. In your son, Jesus' name, I pray.